The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection, came forward and put this question to Jesus, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us, if someone's brother dies, leaving a wife but no child, his brother must take the wife and raise up descendants for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married a woman but died childless. Then the second and the third married her, and likewise all the seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. Now at the resurrection, whose wife will that woman be? For all seven had been married to her." Jesus said to them, "The children of this age marry and remarry, but those who are deemed worthy to attain to the coming age and to the resurrection of the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. They can no longer die, for they are like angels, and they are the children of God, because they are the ones who will rise. That the dead will rise, even Moses made known in the passage about the bush, when he called out, 'Lord, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob,' and he is not the God of the dead, but of the living. For to him all are alive." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning. You missed the 7:45 Mass, unless some of you are doing double duty today, where Father Richard asked what I think is the most compelling question about this gospel reading. What was it like to be the sixth or the seventh brother? Just had to steal the line, thought it was a good one. Elizabeth O'Donnell Gandolfo. How's that for a good Irish-Italian name? She's a Catholic theologian who teaches now at Wake Forest University. She's also the mother of four still young children. And she offers a compelling reflection on our first reading, where the mother watches her seven sons tortured and killed before she herself goes to her death. Dr. O'Donnell Gandolfo is awestruck by the mother. In a couple verses of the story, they were left out of the lectionary version you just heard. This mother actually encourages each of her sons to go to his death. How could she do that? Wouldn't a prudent mother want nothing more than to preserve the lives of her children? Isn't that all of us who are parents? Isn't that what we have experienced? Nothing becomes more important, apparently. I'm old enough to have grown up hearing stories right after World War II about all the priests and monks and nuns and laywomen and laymen who were killed by soldiers of either the Japanese emperor or of the Nazis because they refused to stomp on a crucifix or in some other way deny their Christianity. Couldn't they see that this was just a couple pieces of wood with a little figure of a man on it? Why die for what is only a symbolic act? It wasn't about the pork, and it wasn't about the crucifix as an object. It was about core identity. It was and is about the covenant relationship between God and all of humanity. I've heard several very wise teachers say that what we call original sin is best characterized as forgetting who we are, children of God. To forget that, or to deny that God is completely faithful to that covenant, is to lose our identity, and when that is gone, there is nothing left of us. could we make the same choice that the seven sons and the mother made? Could we put our faith in front of our concern for our own safety, choose to trust God in the face of the death of our children? The king referred to in this story is actually Emperor Antiochus IV of the Seleucid Empire, which was a small part of the greater Greek world. That empire went from about the 4th century to the 2nd century before Christ. What Antiochus is trying to do is to force these men and their mother to submit to empire, to power, to wealth, to self-interest, to put worldly values ahead of their identity as children of God. Dr. O'Donnell Gandolfo poses a tough question. Would we, could we, do we stand as strong in our identity as God's children? Could we, do we, make the choice of the eternal over that which will decay and collapse, as every empire will? And then we come to our gospel, again involving seven brothers. The number seven shows up a lot in Scripture, almost 500 times. It represents divine completion, that is, all things coming into right relationship with God. Am I the only one here who reads this question that the Sadducees asked Jesus and thinks of Bart Simpson or Dennis the Menace, continually offering increasingly complicated hypothetical situations in hope of tripping up the teacher? Whose wife will she be? Jesus calls out the Sadducees for being caught in the inadequacy of their own understanding of what they call heaven, in presuming that it's just a continuation of human relationships, and for the Sadducees believing that our limited image of life in total union with God can possibly be told in its entirety in our own language and images. We get caught up in the same trap all the time. We're stuck within the limits of our thoughts and of our language. An old man with a flowing gray beard and long gray hair, or little creatures suddenly able to play the harp and content to sit on a cloud and do so for all eternity. They're images. Jesus tells the Sadducees that what is marriage to us now is completely superseded by total unity with and in God. And that's unity with everyone, not just our current spouse. Everyone and joyfully. Everyone. Even the people you don't like. That's why we come to communion. We need the grace of the divine to get us into that kind of relationship. So as you walk to communion today, I want to suggest that you bring to mind the person that you would least want to spend eternity with and say a prayer. Say a prayer for reconciliation and restoration of loving relationship between you. And take what instruction you can from the thought that someone else might be praying for you in exactly the same way. You see, in the grace of Christ, we can receive enough of the divine image, of the divine love, so that we can put aside the separations that are of this world and reclaim a little bit more of our true identity as children of the covenant, children of God.